Justice's funny word. It has to be got fairly quickly. If time goes on this far, if things go on this far, can you ever really get justice? I don't think so.
Yeah, just walked down the street and Anne was coming across. And we walked down the street, that North Earl Street. We were just chatting, you know the way, because you didn't see her for a long time, and it was a small chat, you know. We didn't even get into anything. And then this girl came down, she came towards us.
We started in episode one with three friends on Talbot Street 50 years ago. My Aunt Anne, Josie Bradley and Marion Keenan. Anne and Josie died in the bomb. Marion survived.
Ordinary people in the wrong place. Yeah, completely ordinary. So ordinary that you didn't even have opinions. You know, you just wanted to be happy.
This week, Marion reunited with Anne's sister Margaret, and for the first time ever, she met Josie's sisters, Marion and Pauline.
Yeah. It's actually quite emotional meeting Marion.
To meet Marion.
Because the fact I've heard so much about you, I feel I do know you. But I can't believe how emotional I am to hear how well you knew Joe and how lucky you were to survive. Mm.
Yeah. And I feel the same about Marion, because we can do nothing about once we've lost Anne and Joe, but Marion witnessed it. But somebody has survived, and that is Marion, to tell us they ended very happy, they didn't know it, they were chatting away.
Completely.
Although Marion was a bit concerned about the bomb, the noise.
Anne said, here's somebody I went to school with and somebody I work with, you know, and we were laughing at that, you know, the connection. And I heard the first one, and I just, you know, they were chatting because they knew each other, and I was, that's doesn't sound so good, you know the way.
Do you have flashbacks, Marion? Did you?
You know, it was a long time ago. Mm. You didn't have words for those things.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
All I knew is that if I ever saw anyone to do with Anne, I freaked out.
Yeah, but I didn't know that Marion was avoiding me.
Yeah. I suppose the two things would be guilt and gratitude.
You don't have to have any guilt, Marion.
Not now that I've met you, Marion.
Yeah.
I was guilty I never told you the story.
Really, it's telling a story that we were all so traumatised when we haven't met.
Yeah.
And we're all kind of in this neck of the woods.
I was guilty, Marion. I was.
Guilty of Marion.
Of surviving.
I'd say so.
For Marion, what has doing the programme that was on last week done for you, I suppose, and talking about it?
Mary, I didn't do it for me at all. But I have got so much out of it. Just to be here.
That's
and,
great, Marion.
You know,
delighted for you.
So much to us. I said to Kira, I'm glad I didn't pass away before I did this.
Actually,
I'm so glad, Barry, that they won't be forgotten because of this.
Mm.
So glad. The three of us were happy out.
It was actually, it brought it all back as if it happened this week. You know, I was actually quite shocked at how raw the whole thing went. And it's amazing. But the healing process has been great.
Was it even to know where they died? And to know that they were happy going there, that they weren't running scared.
No,
that was consolation.
No, they were happy out.
I don't know whether I want an apology. I just want justice.
The truth.
Nothing
and
else.
To admit a wrong was done.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Margaret.
Yeah. And why it was done. I wonder why it was done.
Yeah. Is the motion agreed?
Agreed.
The motion is agreed. Thank you very much, deputies.
On the week of the 50th anniversary, the Dáil unanimously supported a motion for the British government to release all documents relating to the Dublin Monaghan bombings.
In this debate, the truth is that the British government murdered Irish citizens. They did it in collusion.
It's the fourth such motion since 2008, but nothing happens.
Mary Lou MacDonald, Uachtaráin Sinn Féin and TD for Dublin Central.
We're 50 years on, and I suppose the thing that strikes me most is that when this time of year comes up every year, the families, the injured, the community relive the horror of the day. And this fourth motion will be the same in as much as it centres very much on disclosure. Disclosure of information, disclosure of intelligence information, particularly from the British state and the British government. As you know, over all of the years where the campaign has been live, the British government have been unhelpful, to put it politely, in respect of making that information available. And even in the face of motion after motion coming from the Oireachtas from Parliament here in Dublin, families simply want to know from official sources what happened. They want verification of the truth. It was never an acceptable position for them to withhold that information. They cited national security concerns. By the way, it's also the British system that now looking for an amnesty.
Ireland's most senior politicians continue to press for the files. But again, nothing happens.
Micheál Martin, Tánaiste, currently Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, formerly an Taoiseach from 2020 to 2022. He was Foreign Minister on the last occasion, Foreign Minister on this occasion. We've consistently been asking for full access to all documentation, including intelligence documentations.
How frustrating is it that this documentation is still not forthcoming?
Yes, I mean, it is extremely frustrating. Time does matter here, and so that there are no opportunities for governments not to be as, perhaps, paranoid.
For you, those files could be easily released.
I believe they could, and I believe they should. I'm hoping that Operation Denton, if that can be published in due course this year, that might help and would contribute to the need for families to get some sense of closure, and that it may provide additional material. We don't know.
Operation Denton is an investigation into the notorious Glenan gang, the mix of loyalist militants and British security personnel linked to 120 sectarian murders and suspected of bombing Dublin and Monaghan. Families and senior politicians hope it will yield a breakthrough. But can it really succeed where others have failed?
Operation Denton's had access to secret and top secret material that no other previous investigation ever has.
Former Scottish Police Chief Ian Livingstone is heading Operation Denton.
The ability to obtain information, to seek information wherever it sits, is crucial. But what Canova did and what Denton has done is that we have obtained access. We have had unprecedented support, in my judgment, from agencies both in the United Kingdom, but also, for example, through the Irish government. I think the information that we've obtained gives us as thorough and as detailed a picture, I think, as it would be possible to get. Now, I'm not naive, and you know, I wouldn't say to your listeners, I wouldn't say to any family or people who have lost loved ones that we have seen everything, because you don't know what you haven't seen. And in the back of one's mind, there is always a potential concern that there is information that hasn't been disclosed. I actually don't think that is the case. You know, I think we have seen everything that exists up to and including secret and top secret cabinet meetings of the British government. We've seen all intelligence reports that would sit within MI5 and would sit within Legacy Special Branch. We've seen all the information that was going between the north and south of Ireland. And we've pieced that together. We've looked at the amount of information that exists in open source. And crucially and vitally, we've also spoken to people who have come forward and provided additional information at times to fill some of those gaps. So as best as I can judge, I think we have seen all the information that's there to allow us to make a full report on the circumstances of the Glenan series.
Back in episode 4, we heard from former British Army intelligence officer Colin Wallace, who served in Northern Ireland at the time of the bombings.
Oh, I don't have any doubt at all that in the lead-up to the Dublin bombings that we had sufficient context to have a very good picture that something was being planned. At the very least, we would have known what the target was.
Could it
prevented, therefore?
That's a difficult question. In theory, yes.
Wallace claims he's provided detailed information to Operation Denton about the Dublin Monaghan bombings, including a list of suspects. But he's frustrated.
I had two meetings with officers in Denton. I gave them a lot of documents, and then I heard nothing. And then at the end of last year, I contacted them. I wrote a letter to them deliberately, putting some of this stuff on record because I was getting concerned. And then I got two emails. One was, sorry, we're really busy at the moment, and thank you for what you sent, and we do intend to be in contact with you very soon. And then after another month, I got another email saying the same again, and then I heard nothing more. Obviously, what evidence I gave them, they didn't like.
The evidence, the records pertained to the Glenanne gang, to the loyalists who were active at the time of the bombings.
Yes, well, it was a cross-section of what I've basically said to you today. I really, really feel very disillusioned about it. It's not what I expected. Denton is covering an area that is so sensitive between the intelligence services and the paramilitaries. I can't see how they can fail to prosecute some people who are in very sensitive roles. In the case of Glenanne, a lot of the people were well identified and went on to be very senior people, extremely senior. And some of them are still alive. And I can never see those individuals being put in a court. Being built up, this is going to be the definitive solution because there will be no more investigations. Now, if you suddenly leave it in mid-air where you have witnesses who haven't been interviewed or have still got, what is the message of that? You know, what is that saying to the victim's relatives? My view is I think probably now I wouldn't speak to them anymore. I have shared quite a lot with them, and I say I've given them names of people we suspected of Dublin Monaghan and everything else. I just have a bad feeling with it, and I'm not going to keep pushing it.
I'm disappointed to hear that Mr. Wallace has said that, only because I know that we have spoken to him a number of times, and indeed it is still our intention to speak to Colin Wallace before we finalise our report. You know, I would hope that any information that Colin Wallace had, you'd be in a position to share with us, and you know, we'd be very keen to hear from him, and I know that we will be in further contact with Colin Wallace.
I think this is the last chance that relatives of the victims will ever have at getting their case looked up properly.
I hope it's not the last chance, but I sincerely hope that it will give pointers as to how we could proceed even further. But also, I think in and of itself, I'm hoping that it can shed a more comprehensive light on what happened and what transpired. It would be very, I think, important that, particularly after the publication of Operation Denton, that we would make one final effort collectively, the two governments, to get to the bottom of it. I think Operation Denton, I hope, will contribute significantly.
With the Denton process, and Ian Livingstone seems to say that he has access to, if not all the information, most of the information, or a sufficient amount of information to carry out his task. I think we have to take that as a signal of encouragement, but I also think that we need to be vigilant, and there needs to be clarity that all of the information required needs to be made available.
Do you have confidence in the Denton process? It is a former British police chief investigating actions and allegations of British collusion in the Dublin Monaghan bombings. So do you have full confidence in that process?
I think the proof of the pudding and the efficacy of the process will only be in a position to fully adjudicate that really on the far side of its reporting.
The families of the killed and injured in Dublin and Monaghan, they're still searching for truth, for justice. Do you think that search can ultimately be successful?
Dublin and Dublin and Monaghan, I find very difficult, because I feel, again, the relationship between the security forces and the people involved in Glenanne, both UVF and UDA, there is so much information available that it's going to be very difficult to see how they can prosecute someone. How on earth are they going to deal with that? But more importantly, how are they not going to deal with it? Because I can see a great amount of sadness and dissatisfaction and frustration if there aren't some prosecutions. I really do. And it would be a disgrace if nobody gets prosecuted.
The Irish government's Barron Inquiry in 2003 named 18 individuals, either loyalist paramilitaries or security personnel, suspected of involvement in the Dublin Monaghan bombings. Of those, 4 are still alive. We wrote to them, asking whether they'd anything to add on this, the 50th anniversary of the atrocity. They've yet to respond. They've previously denied all allegations against them. Also in episode 4, Colin Wallace claimed the explosives used in Dublin could have been acquired by loyalists from IRA stores.
Either they managed to get some captured IRA material, or some of the material that was captured was given back to the loyalists. And that is quite a sobering thought if that's true.
Colin Wallace's belief that loyalists could have used IRA material captured by British security forces raises several concerns for the Irish state. 50 years ago, there were serious concerns about the IRA obtaining explosive material in the Republic and then bringing it north.
In January 1975, Northern Ireland Secretary Merlin Rees wrote to our Foreign Minister Gareth Fitzgerald, outlining how during 1973 and 4, 1,000 pounds of commercial explosives were recovered by the security forces in the north, still in the original wrapping paper from the Irish Industrial Explosives Factory in Enfield, County Meath.
Senior army figures worried about the catastrophic security situation at Enfield, and explosive material recovered in the north wasn't routinely logged.
So what if explosive material lifted through lax security in the Republic and brought to the north was later brought back to the Republic and used in the car bombings of Dublin? The evidence is not definitive, but it's a question which still lingers.
You know, there are misgivings. In my view, the investigation in the Republic was a short one, from all appearances. And I think what the families need first and foremost is full closure, insofar as that can be given. And that means that an assurance that all efforts have been made to uncover the truth about what was the worst atrocity of the Troubles.
And 50 years on, the question of why the initial Garda investigation was closed so early simply won't go away.
I find it difficult to comprehend why the inquiry was closed. It seems to have been closed very early on in the aftermath of the bombing. I find that very hard to comprehend.
Fine Gael's Pat Cooney was Minister for Justice at the time of the bombings. At this point, he's not agreed to interview. However, Mr. Cooney believes that while the names of the suspects were known at an early stage in 1974, there was never enough evidence to charge them. And Garda Síochána declined to participate in this programme or answer questions about their initial investigation or to clarify their current engagement with ongoing reviews into the bombings. The force claims the Dublin Monaghan atrocity remains an open investigation and appeals for witnesses to come forward.
It hits home that actually, do you know what, you're never really going to move on from the 17th of May 1974. And it is what it is, and get used to it, because every May is going to be shit, and your sister's birthday is always going to be ruined, and you're never going to have your dad back, and you've never seen your baby sister as a result of it.
Angela O'Neill lost her father in the Parnell Street bomb. Her two brothers were injured, and her sister, baby Martha, was stillborn. She believes now is the time for a state apology.
I really do believe that the Irish government's failings are so huge that I don't think they'll ever come out publicly and apologise for that, because it's massive. Would an apology cut it? Absolutely not. But would it acknowledge the hurt and the pain and the injustice? Yes. This needs to be acknowledged, because it's not a legacy issue for us. We live it every single day. It has affected our lives every single day since, and will continue to.
is a state apology perhaps something that should be explored?
I think so. I certainly think so. But I know from listening to the important, really central people in this, the survivors, the campaign, the families, the first thing and the North Star of their efforts has always been facts and truth and disclosure. So that's the first piece. So we need to get that piece right first.
How hopeful are you that that piece will be right, that facts, truth, disclosure, as you say, will emerge in the coming months?
The thing that makes me hopeful is the knowledge that the families will never give up and never give in, and that the campaign will endure. And I know because they have told me directly they are not stopping until they get to the point of truth.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, I must apologise for the room. I did book the room about 2 months ago, and unfortunately it seems to have been double booked. So I'm afraid it's not ideal, but what can we do? I think we can start.
34 died at the Dublin Monaghan bombings on May 17, 1974, almost 300 injured. Lives changed forever. The deadliest attack in the history of this island. But short investigations, files missing or withheld, will there ever be a nation's truth for the forgotten?
Forgotten by the government and everyone else, yeah. Sure, even the people in Ireland, like if you'd say something about the bomb, you'd say, oh, that was years ago, like, you know.
Very much forgotten, very much forgotten. It's actually hard to think, sitting here now, to think something like that happened. Abandoned, absolutely abandoned, thrown to the wolves, really.
It's very important that we're not forgotten. Very important that that carpet that they lifted back in 74 and swept everybody under it, get rid of that carpet and open it up and let everybody see. We're human beings. People that died were human beings.
It's a very powerful word because, you know, their lives were forgotten a bit very fast.
Like that, I think, would be brilliant for us, that the next generation wouldn't forget that we'd lived through that and, you know, that it would be continued and not forgotten, as the man says.
And the one thing, and I'm doing this, is that they wouldn't be forgotten. It's the only reason I'm doing this.
Definitely has been forgotten. Like it's...
all of the victims were forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there was a baby not even given the chance of life,
yeah,
in Dublin.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, you know, it's disgusting the way it was put to the back burner.
I totally think they have been forgotten. And I think Monaghan has been forgotten in terms of the effects that the conflict in the north has had on it.
It was worse than forgotten. They were repudiated. If they'd just been forgotten, that would have been bad enough. But they were an embarrassment to the state. They were an embarrassment and they were repudiated.
50 years on, there was nothing done in 50 years, so this point is looking forward to another years. And knowing that the people that have passed on over the 50 years left the world with great sadness, not knowing anything. A lot of sadness lies.
Like, I'm 70 years of age now. When, like, am I ever going to see answers to it? I can't see it, you know what I mean?
There's no justice. No justice. No, we never got justice.
I would say that the individuals involved have met their justice for the most part. Now, the people who gave orders and provided funding and all, I don't know where they're at, but, you know, they had to live with it too.
Sometimes like a dream, you wonder, did she exist? I often say to my sister, what would she be doing now if she were here? Probably married someplace, hopefully. And...
justice is a question that is... what justice are we going to get? It's 50 years on, as you say. I don't want justice against anybody. I want the truth more than justice. Truth is all we want
maybe the word justice doesn't hold. It's more the our living that has been as it has that brought us through. Yes, I think that at this stage, serious reflection has to be done by the governments of Ireland with the North and with England, just to bring it out in the open. It's there. We've read, we've heard, and it's there. And it has to be brought out in the open so that there is that, you're using the word justice, I think, truth that will set us free.
Yeah. 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 It's truth we want, yeah.